This is Vision Destiny 2019, session 11, in which I'm sharing some of my 2018 journals. I'm doing it sequentially in the order that God spoke to me through the year. Some of the things God said, some of the things I encountered. What does that mean for 2019? And does God want to reveal more and unveil more for us in 2019? Absolutely he does, because deep is calling to deep. He's an infinite God and he wants to unveil and take us deeper into a relationship with him. So what does God want to do and where does he want to take us in 2019? Those are questions that we can ask and hopefully cooperate in engaging where God is taking us, what he's doing with us, to take us deeper into him, to take us higher into the realms of heaven and to unveil the reality of who we are in him. So it's really important that you resonate with what I say and take it back to God. Or if you disagree with what I say, that's okay. Take it back to God so that you get direct revelation from him. I'm giving you information based on my revelation, which has come through my personal experiences and encounters. You need your own. So you need to take it back. Otherwise, all that I can give you is information that could inspire you, but if it's going to change and transform and enable you to fulfill your destiny, then you need to embrace it and get it from revelation yourself. We all need to know the truth. Knowing the truth is by experience, and the truth goes beyond concepts to a person and the reality of Jesus being the truth. Love is my plumb line for truth. Whether I'm interpreting what I think the Bible's saying, whether I'm interpreting my experiences with God, subjective experiences, if I'm using love as the plumb line, then I'm not going to go too far wrong. God said to me, if it's not unconditional love, it's not me. Now, it's really, really important to understand the nature of unconditional love. When we demand something, otherwise we won't love, that's not unconditional and it's not God. If it is love, it is me. Now, that's a challenge. So where we see genuine love, and I mean the God type of love, and we see it in people because God is at work in people, then that's him at work. They may not be aware of it, but it's still an expression of him, and we need to embrace that and encourage people to be aware of that. Love must be unconditional and otherly, otherwise it's not love at all. And this little phrase, don't tell people how lost they are, show them how loved they are. That's how we're going to change the world, how we're going to reach the world, how we're going to unveil the love of God to the world. We're going to arise and shine and let love's light be that which draws the world to a relationship with God that it desperately needs. So this year, expanding consciousness was a focus for me. I ended up in October doing a final intensive on deconstruction of the mind and expanding consciousness. So as I went through the year, and now in this sequence, I'm getting to the latter part of the year, God really started to unveil something about consciousness, about the mind, about how we engage, and particularly how we learn to meditate and bring us into different states of consciousness to access different states of reality. This began to open up. And he started to speak to me about it. What he said was this: no one can be limitless if the source of their desire is disconnected from the eternal source of enlightenment, which can only be found in the perichoresis relationship of I am. Within the circle of the dance of Father, Son, and Spirit, that is where we're going to truly see what reality is from an eternal perspective. And then our perspectives will begin to function in a limitless way. When my children only draw from the possibilities that can be seen from the do-it-yourself source of intellect, their realities will always be limited to the spirituality of earth. And that is why so many people who are engaging in supernatural spirituality, even if it's not through God, they won't be able to go into an eternal perspective or a heavenly perspective. Their perspectives will be a spiritual reality, but an earthly limited spiritual reality, which is all you can get when you're only connected through yourself. The earthbound consciousness is limited to the boundaries of the mind of man, but those who are untethered and free to live in the realms of heaven have access to the mind of Christ in the eternal now as the true source of limitlessness. And I think that is something to reflect on. as we engage beyond the veil and beyond the realms into an eternal sense of the heart and mind of God, it will untether us and change our perspective. The restrictions of religion have also disconnected my children from their true potential by tethering them to a system of beliefs and laws. Reconnecting the subconscious mind to the omniscience of I am and a flow of non-linear truth will unlock the power of the consciousness of sonship. Science, quantum physics, all these things are looking at the power of the mind and the effect that the mind has on reality, on matter, on energy, and coming up with all sorts of scientific perspectives. But the reality is the energy that exists comes and all has come from the frequency of God's voice vibrating with energy. He spoke creation into being, and it still carries the vibrational frequency of his voice. And when we begin to connect our mind to that frequency and engage it, we will then begin to see reality created by our engagement with matter and energy. The mind has the potential of creative thought to shape reality so that creation can become free from its bondage to decay into the freedom of love's light. That's our role. The mind of those disconnected by lost identity or by religion can never but perpetuate the limited possibilities of natural intellect. Only those whose minds are connected to the divine have ever brought real change because their consciousness is danced with eternal possibilities. The natural mind, however deep it goes, can draw from nothing more than the soulish creative possibilities. It is and always will be limited, which is why all mindfulness out there that's functioning basically on creating a better life for yourself, making you more happy, being more prosperous, although they are effective, are still limited into they never will create a larger perspective of destiny and therefore significance and purpose. Generally, it's still centered around self. Most technological advances were man's attempt to recreate what was once possible through the power of the mind. So a lot of technology that we have today can do what the mind was able to do in the past. And there have been various stages through history that have reduced the power of the mind. And now God is wanting to restore it and reconnect us to it. Peace, love, joy, that together make rest, can never be fully experienced outside of relationship with me. There are many substitutes and many counterfeits, but they will never fully satisfy. There will always be something missing until the genuine and the authentic are experienced. Many people think that ready meals you can buy, you know, already prepared, frozen meals, are the true culinary taste, be it lasagna, curry, Italian, Indian, Chinese, Thai, Mexican. But when they taste the authentic restaurant cooked or home cooked dishes, it is a whole new world. Now, this is true. You know, although there's something in these things which are a reflection, they're not nothing like when you experience the real thing. Now, people think they're experiencing the real thing eating ready meals. It's the same with engaging God. Religion offers a taste of the real thing, but it's not authentic and it's not actually real, and it can almost stop people believing there's more. True reality and abundant life can only be experienced in the face-to-face relationship with the source, the creator, the father. All religion is but a substitute for the genuine and inoculates my children against me. The whole of mankind is seeking for love, joy, and peace from the wrong things and have no true rest, just an imitation that can never restore true sonship or truly connect them to creation so they can find their true identity and position. So important that we turn away from the counterfeits and the things that we've been pursuing and engage in the face-to-face intimacy that is going to change and transform us and enable us to fulfill our sonship. Meditation and mindfulness are based in good principles, but is restricted and limited to the soul realm of the do-it-yourself tree knowledge. Expanding consciousness can only fully be accomplished through the spirit and engaging the mind of Christ. Many seek to engage the celestial planes and other dimensions, but most are stuck with the creations of their own soul's fantasies or the limitations of earth spiritual realms. Only the masters have opened the doorways between dimensions, but they have only created more problems rather than finding true ascension. Now, there are people who have, through the pursuit, trained themselves in certain techniques of mind consciousness that have open doorways, but actually those things have not been good. And we need to be aware of those who have authority in this area, but it's not godly. Let's be aware of that. Just because people can do amazing things doesn't necessarily mean the source of their power is coming from the right source. The power of the soul is immense, but pales into insignificance compared to the power of the spirit. But true authority can only be discovered when soul and spirit are reintegrated and whole, which is why it's so important that we are willing to embrace the process of transformation, renewing of our mind, so that our soul and spirit can be separated and reintegrated through the soul's surrender to its eternal destiny. When the mind and the spirit are in unison, then the full potential of the creative consciousness of sonship will be discovered. Destiny can never be fulfilled when tethered to the soul and the physical realms. So while I was engaging heaven in 2010-11, I was going in soul and spirit, stepping out soul and spirit, going in soul and spirit, stepping out soul and spirit, because my soul and spirit were tethered with a close tether, which didn't allow much distance. Now, I didn't realize I had it, but I did. And when that tether was severed and the soul ties connecting to my spirit for independence were severed and then reconnected from spirit to soul, then that tether is not going to limit me. So now I can be in the realms of heaven and be in the realms of earth simultaneously, quantumly entangled, flowing from that realm to this realm, because I am now correctly reintegrated soul and spirit. That then opens the possibility of multidimensional connection way, way beyond non-linearity, all the things that when our mind is deconstructed and when we're remapped and our minds can be remapped from our eternal consciousness to our, let's say, this realm consciousness of our mind, then our mind can be remapped with memory that came from before, and that will reconnect us to creation in a much more integrated way. True freedom is found only when ascending the 9 stones of fire into sonship, being joined in one spirit with the Creator within the circle of the dance between father, mother, brother. Now, yeah, that might offend people when you think of father, mother, brother rather than father, son, spirit, but actually these are concepts. God is neither a father nor a mother nor a brother in reality. But actually, he's a spirit that through Father, Son, Spirit, and their full capacity to represent everything that we need, then we can enter into that when we engage in a different dimension to that. Meditation helps us to be at rest, being mindful, able to connect our consciousness to a deeper and higher level of reality. That's what it does. It enables us to engage our consciousness and therefore begin to connect to the power that's been given to our mind, particularly when we're then connected to the eternal consciousness of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of a son, if you like. Meditation raises our awareness levels and our consciousness levels. So we become attuned to things by learning to be at rest and therefore connected. Delta wave state is not to be confined to deep sleep. Now, the mind has 4 different ways that it functions and 4 different states of frequency. And we'll look at that in a moment. But this statement, delta waves, is not to be confined to deep sleep, but is the state of consciousness that is true rest. So what God is saying here is you do not need to be asleep to be at pure rest. You can be at rest even when you're active if your consciousness is functioning from that state. That state of consciousness can be the normal state that has access to beta, alpha, and theta states, where the quantum possibilities can create reality that is tuned and aligned to the rhythm of my heart's deepest desires framed in love. Now, meditate on that statement by God, and I think it will unveil and reveal much more of where we're going with the renewal of our mind and expanding of our consciousness. So our mind functions at different wavelengths and engages different levels of states of consciousness. Beta waves, normal awake state, problem-solving mode. Alpha waves, slower access in intuition and creativity within. Theta waves, spiritual access beyond the soul to the spirit and to Holy Spirit and beyond. Delta wave, deep sleep state with being at rest, peace, and with no dreams. The monostatic brain accesses only one state of consciousness at a time. That's a limitation that was never intended for us to be able to operate in. So renewing of our mind, rewiring of our brain, if you like, can change that. We need to learn to tune into each state concurrently and have a life of increased capacity and capabilities. Our brain is vibrating at different frequencies with different wavelengths. We can learn to focus our brain waves to be more effective through meditation and mindfulness techniques. So essentially, most of us, when we open our eyes in the morning, after we've come out of that little semi-state of sleep, beta waves are engaged when the brain is aroused and processes activities. That's 12 hertz and up. But when we close our eyes, our brain waves slow down to between 8 and 12 hertz. That's alpha waves. That moves towards more relaxation, imagination, intuitive thinking. And that's why we're training our senses to discern through using our imagination to enable us to come to this place of intuitive engagement. But then there's theta waves, 4 hertz to 8 hertz. Theta brain waves indicate drowsiness, daydreaming, the first stage of sleep, or the indirect imagination thinking. Now, for me, this is engaging into a spiritual connection. And I believe spiritual reality and revelation and truth can come through the spirit, through these theta wave connections, to engage us and bring a flowing from the spiritual realm. And then there's delta wave, brain waves, deep sleep, slow wave, background thinking, below 4 hertz. Now, if we can learn to access all those states and the benefits of all those states, then our consciousness will begin to expand and we will access different states to be able to function differently when we need it. Now, that's not to say we throw our brain or our mind out the window. We don't. We use the problem solving, but we don't do it independently of the creativity that we have and the connection we have to the spirit so that we can be at rest. The brain has the capacity to operate at more than one frequency range at any given time. In fact, all 4 rates can occur at once, yet at varying amplitudes. A good analogy would be to relate each brainwave state to a string on a violin. All 4 strings can make notes, yet one or more strings can dominate the overall sound at a greater volume, depending on how, the angle, and where the bow is actually touching the strings. All of them, some of them, in different strengths at different strings. Meditation and mindfulness is learning how to focus our thinking and access different states of consciousness, coming into a state of rest, which is living in full love, joy and peace. And those were the things that Jesus said that he has engaged us with. You know, love one another as I have loved you. So to experience love, his love enables us to love. Freely we've received, freely give. That's why love is unconditional. If it's conditional, it isn't love. And then joy. Living in this place where we live in gratitude and thanksgiving and positive attitude, so that everything's an opportunity, not an obligation, and then peace. Not being at war with anybody, being at peace, body, soul, and spirit, so making sure we're not at enmity within, and then we're not at enmity or divisiveness with other people. So living a life of forgiveness. That really is a key. Now, That is summed up in the statement that God has over and over spoken to me: live loved, love living, and live loving. And that really is a key. That's the lifestyle of rest and not stress. Matthew 11:28 sums this up. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. In other words, stressed. And I will give you rest. Well, how is he going to give us rest? Well, he's going to help us in relationship by joining ourselves to him relationally to learn from him. He's not just going to take away our stress. He's not just going to impart rest as some spiritual gift. It then goes on to explain, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. So how do we take his yoke upon us? By choosing to take his yoke upon us and surrender to his discipleship. By choosing to engage him relationally every day. By then in that relationship, learning from him, because he's gentle and humble in heart. Now, gentleness is knowing strength and yet surrendering that strength to somebody else. Only using that strength for the benefit of someone else, not just for myself. Humility, humble, being humble in heart, is not, well, I'm nobody and a worm and nothing. It's the opposite of that in reality. It's knowing again who I really am and yet surrendering that under the mighty hand of God, only doing what we see the Father doing in relationship, just as Jesus modeled when he was here on earth. He was modeling this to them all the time because he lived in a state of continual rest, and he was inviting them to come into that state where you have to let go of doing it your own way and carrying your own burdens and being yoked to him so he can bear the load, but he also sets the direction. You know, in a farming sense, this is where two oxen were yoked together. The strong one was yoked to, let's say, a newer, younger yoke, a younger oxen, ox, who then learnt the ropes by the stronger one keeping them on track. And it's so important that we learn to follow Jesus. Let's not go off and do our own thing, but join ourselves to him and be connected to him and surrender to him. And then we will learn to be strong and we'll learn to know our identity within that and authority. Sonship is truly about living loved. It's loving living. And in the moment of infinite possibilities that are then expressed by living, loving. Now, what am I saying here? We need to know we're loved. And as sons, we need to know the love of the Father. Otherwise, we will never fully understand what sonship is about. And when we live loved and we're living loved, then it's about loving, living. It's about seeing the amazing opportunities that exist every day. And in the moment of those infinite possibilities that are then, we choose to make decisions to express living, loving. So to express what we have freely received that enables us to see life in a totally different perspective, we then demonstrate that to others by giving that away to them, by loving them the way we've been loved, keeping no record of wrongs. Forgiving, loving those who don't love us, blessing them, praying for them. It's a otherly. It is what true love is. It's what God has done to us, that while we thought we were enemies of God, he loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. That's the key to love. Let's embrace it. Son, the mind is a battleground for many people when it's designed to be the place of dimensional convergence when it's at rest. So this is where eternity, heaven, and earth can come together within our consciousness, within our mind, and bring together all of the convergence of the revelation that comes out of those places so we can live from that place. But the mind needs to be renewed because the mind has believed so much that it's been taught, which is not the truth. And now a deconstruction of the mind needs to take place, and a renewal of the mind and an expanding of consciousness needs to take place. So rest is the state of abiding in love, joy, and peace, and that is fully abiding in I am. To be at rest is to live loved, love living, live loving within the circle of the dance that can be experienced only with a renewed mind and an expanded consciousness. Now, we can get glimpses of this along the journey that will draw us deeper and deeper and deeper into this intimacy that will transform us to truly see ourselves the way he sees us and what we see reflected in his face when we look upon him. The limitations placed on the mind by the religious and cultural systems restricts my children to a life of being slaves to the machine. A mind free from past restrictions has the capacity to shape reality creatively through the living connection to my grace within all things. This is string theory. The vibrational frequency of God's power, because grace is God's divine ability, his divine ability is within the fabric of all creation, vibrating as strings, which are the energy of his voice, which is the creative power to form all things. Therefore, every particle that is formed out of one of these strings of energy, which has the capacity to create everything, anything and everything. But it's as these strings connect and interact, then they form connections, which then begin to manifest. So we can connect within the fabric of creation and within the empty space, so-called, that is makes up most of the known universe, and actually see that it's not empty at all, but has within it the capacity to align itself with the reality of God's truth. And it is the vibrational frequency, that grace, which is in everything, that when our minds become free from the limitations and we truly see what sonship is all about, we can use that to shape reality and to create things and to call things out of which you can't see to come into what you can see, which was how God made everything. Didn't God call things that be not as if they are? Did not everything come from what is not seen? Everything seen coming out of unseen? No, it doesn't mean it didn't exist. It just means it. We couldn't see it with the natural eyes, but now we can connect to it in the spirit. Know my heart, the precepts. Know my mind, the statutes. Use my voice, the laws, to shape reality so the beginning and the end converge in time from eternity. Religion is a veil of darkness masquerading as light. That is but a do-it-yourself system of beliefs to conform my children to slavery. The religiously conformed mind is living the illusion of having freedom and enlightenment, when in reality the mind is chained and darkened. It's living in the matrix. Son, let me show you. Now then I went into an encounter. I stood in the midst of the limitlessness of creative thought as within a conversation between Father, Son, and Spirit. So I'm within the function of the mind, within the function of the statutes of God, which is outworked from his precepts, which is basically love. I was able to hear a passing thought concerning love's light that is so simple and yet so profound that it's more than all men's philosophies combined. So one thought of God has depth beyond everything man could come up with in its own philosophical trying to understand everything. Now that has the capacity to blow your mind if your mind is not willing to be expanded by the experience. I embrace these experiences and allow them to have their work on me that is not always cognitive at the time, but is always the motivation or the springboard for change and growth. That one thought was like a vast neural net of interactivity with many access points to it, and some people are accessing that thought in different ways. One of God's thoughts is beyond the sum total of humanity's knowledge, but we have been made in God's image with our minds capable of understanding complexities beyond the limitations of human knowledge or understanding. Son, you have the legislation. Now use it to open the hearts and minds of my children. When my sons arise, they will be able to live in the now with non-linear thinking and the ability to create alternative realities from the ones that we're obviously facing now. If we keep coming from the beliefs that we have and the memories that we are operating in, we'll keep creating the same reality that we live in now. We have the power to change our reality to align with an eternal perspective not an earthbound one. To choose the end from the beginning and continually realign reality to enable love to bring good in all things. That's God's desire, and he wants us to be part of that. Sonship is inextricably intertwined with creation and its restoration. Restoration is but the beginning. Then the creative abilities of my sons will fulfill the mandate to be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, and rule by expanding throughout the dimensions. So we're not going to be limited to be an earthbound, but we will go beyond. Love's light will shine with a radiant frequency that will bring an end to darkness, and everything will be illuminated. Sons, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now is the time for creation to begin to respond to the light of your glory, to be liberated into the freedom of your sonship. Legislation, using decrees, declarations, bringing things into existence, releasing sounds, frequencies, light. All these things are things that I do when essentially motivated and inspired by these encounters with God. So all of a sudden, I am in a conversation that begins to totally change my perspective. And again, I respond. So I'd encourage you again to close your eyes and allow these declarations to resonate with you, and then perhaps use these declarations yourself where you are called to outwork these things. Again, I will use some frequencies of sound to outwork this and release it. But I'm going to use these calls, which are my response to God's interaction with me. I call for love bombs to explode over different groups, and one of them I was focusing on the time was Morningstar, to reveal your truth, your true nature, to cause people to hunger and thirst for freedom from religious coverings. Now, sometimes you direct it as God directs you to people groups, nations, different places. And this one I was relating to that particular ministry group. I call for angelic visitations and dreams of the promised land beyond the veil, an expanding of this consciousness. And I think that is part of what God's calling us to do in these things, to direct these love bombs to places. I release the sound from heaven, calling people out of the wilderness of the Moses generation and the restrictions and limitations that they're in. I use the law of religious freedom and deconstruction to prepare the Joshua generation for the removal of religious veils and release mind quakes necessary to collapse the pillars and religious and cultural frameworks constructed in their minds. Now, I've gone through this process and I'm open to receive these declarations to myself. So in your own self, receive that. Welcome it, embrace it, so that those veils will be removed and those mind quakes will change and transform and deconstruct your mind. Embrace it. Embrace the declarations and decrees. I call for radical cognitive dissonance to challenge the assumptions and presumptions that trap people in normalcy, stuck in their past. I call for the engagements with the living God to create major shifts of metanoia, agreement with the mind of God, a revelation of the mind of God, releasing the mind of God, the mind of Christ, with truth that brings about these major shifts. I call for a shift in thinking. I call for a shift in truth. I call for a revealing of truth that will quake the mind and explode and collapse theology and doctrine, which are lies opposing the true nature of the character of God. I call for the renewal of the minds to embrace the true, living, loving God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. And I release that call out into the spiritual dimension to touch believers all over the world to have their minds renewed. I call for love encounters that will challenge the warped and false images that have distorted the very essence of who God is I call for those love encounters. Let those love bombs be released. Engage people in love. I call for an open heaven over those listening to these messages, those in the Engaging God program, those who are in the wilderness looking for truth and light, for lightning bolts of pure truth to penetrate the veils of deception and delusion that cover the minds with blindness and darkness. Let those lightning bolts go forth. Let those lightning bolts come out of heaven, penetrate the hearts and minds of those held in bondage. I call for the sons of God to arise and shine with love's light to answer creation's groan with freedom of true sonship. I call for the weapons house to be opened and the statute house to be in alignment for assignments of legions of angels to use the lightning bolts and the love bombs on those who have heard the sound of heaven's call but don't know how to cross over. Let the truth be unveiled. Let visions and dreams and encounters take them out of darkness to cross over the heavenly veil with heavenly encounters, angelic encounters, revelation of deep intimacy with the Father. I call for our media resources to create a new sound to resonate with the hearts and minds of those still trapped in the wilderness of religious coverings. I call people to the book, the blog, the YouTube channel, website, Facebook page, podcasts. As they carry this frequency, they shine with light, vibrate with new energy to connect with the hungry, thirsty, and dissatisfied. I call people to the Joshua generation to be equipped through the Engaging God program. I call for the breakthroughs for those desiring to see, hear, engage the heavenly realms. I call for the sons of God to respond to the sound of heaven, the frequency of heaven, and heaven's light to shine, heaven's sound to resonate. Let the minds of those be expanded. Let them be deconstructed. Let them be renewed. Let the truth set the people of God, the children of God, free to know the true reality of who they are, to know the true reality of their sonship. Let this sound radiate, emanate, vibrate, carry this frequency out into the spiritual realm, unlimited by time and space, and engage God's children with the sound of freedom, with the sound of freedom, with the frequency of freedom. So God continued to talk to me about ambassadors and how we can connect with people. And he gave me some strategy for maybe not this year, but for coming years. Son, with the Engaging God program, ambassadors look to strengthen national connections by preparing for yearly national Engaging God summits. USA, Canada, UK, Europe, South Africa, Australasia, the Far East, eventually India, South America, all these places that we're looking to see open up. These gatherings would be about my agenda, not just local issues, but would be agreed with the ambassadors to strengthen relationship, establish strategic goals, equip and release representatives. Son, the Blue Light Corps was and is still to call people into governmental positions of authority as benches. You must use the same foundation for the ambassadors. Look to establish benches of three for each group, equipping them by legislating strategically together. I will release strategic plans, mandates, and blueprints for each group that will have wider purposes and agendas as things progress and develop. Make this a priority, so meet every few weeks. Make relationships a key element to gatherings. Son, there are boundaries that are not yet crossed and territories that must be opened. These can only be done by forging alliances across the divides. Strategic partnerships with key ambassadors will provide the momentum necessary to open up and occupy territories closed and covered by mediatorial religious systems. Son, international benches will be established with clear mandates that will reveal clear blueprints for the Joshua generation as forerunners to be pioneers who will establish embassies of heaven on earth. The strategic government will facilitate the release of blueprints for embassies for every nation, tribe, tongue, and family of the earth. Provide a safe place for the barriers and guards to come down so healing can take place. I have a call upon all my ambassadors which needs healing and health beyond the current levels of most of my sons. In other words, we need to get to the point where we're not going to die and live forever. True sonship requires a purity of heart that most have yet to allow me to accomplish. The fires of purification are ready to refine my children to become mature with hearts of pure gold. The seraphim are preparing the altars where self must be consumed so my sons will be able to say, "Here am I, send me," not "Here I am," when we declare who will go for us. This is harping back to Isaiah 6, and where Isaiah was, "Woe is me, I'm a man undone," if you like, and the coal from the altar. And then he said, "Here am I," which is the reflection of "I am." And that's who we are as sons, to reflect "I am." The scrolls, mantles, and weapons are aligned and being prepared for the great commissioning to take place. Now, in this encounter, I then saw three weapons or tools forged together as one, separate yet merged. And I believe that what God was unveiling to me was the nature of relationship that functions as benches, that function within the circle of the dance of Father, Son, and Spirit, and yet many different threes coming together that would be stronger than the individual on their own. And so I saw different threes, and that may be different functions, it may be different people, but I saw different threes in this encounter. Light, sound, and oil as three. The sword, the shield, and the breastplate as three. The heart, the mind, and the gut as three. The preacher, the teacher, and the healer. The visionary, the strategist, and the seer. The oracle, the legislator. The king as the priesthood. Prophet, ruler, exhorter. Now, some of these are redemptive gifts. But I saw these threes. I kept seeing threes. Everything I was doing was seeing threes to come together to be one. Like three lines coming together form a triangle. You remove a line and it's no longer a triangle. But when you have the three lines together, it forms something which was new, which was more than each line could be together. Redemptive gifts, spiritual gifts, and ministry gifts, all functioning together correctly in complete unison and harmony. The mind of Christ has been released to reveal true metanoia to this dimension. And we are in this place where the mind of Christ, the mind of the Son, the mind of the Anointed One, the power, has been released to bring true shifts of mind to agree with what God is revealing. And we're functioning in that in this dimension right now. That's happening. God is doing that. And that means a deconstruction and renewal and expanding of our consciousness. But there are many dimensions calling to the sons of God to engage, bringing the freedom of love's light and glory. Now, I'm just leaving you with this because in the next session, the last session, I am going to share some of my engagements with those dimensions and the mandates that I've received. And I believe God is going to release mandates like this to many of his sons to engage and bring love's light to other dimensions with engagement. So our sonship our minds are expanding, our understanding of the fullness of sonship is expanding, the limitations are being removed, so that we will be able to, as this little picture says, he is calling the sons of God to arise. Are you going to respond? And I want to encourage you to respond, you know, to respond to that reality. Again, let me just release this sound. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sound of heaven call to sons to arise. Let this frequency and sound resonate with you for sonship to begin to be a priority. Let the sound of heaven's call for sons to arise go forth. Let the sons of God arise and take their places within the realms of heaven, seated in heavenly places, enthroned and empowered, beginning to bring government to the house of God, and having charge of the courts of heaven, to begin to answer creation's groan, to see the restoration of all things. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise.